The day could be today that your career is over. Now what do you do? I said, I better get to work. Rest at the end, not in the middle. And that's something I always live by. I'm not gonna rest, and I'm gonna keep on pushing now. There are a lot of answers that I don't have, even questions that I don't have. But I'm just gonna keep going. I'm just gonna keep going, and I'll figure these things out as you go, right? And you just continue to build that way. So that, I try to live by that all the time.
Have a dream, sacrifice for it, and never ever rest in the middle.
And I came into the NBA, I was like, man, these dudes really don't work that hard. One of the things I would do is while everybody would be at the cafeteria work, you know, eating and doing all sorts of stuff, I'd just go back to the gym. I'd go back to the gym. How can I show you that, no, I have the edge? Well, you do it through training, right? So when I get up in the morning, my daughter goes with me.
4 a.m.?
4 a.m. My 15-year-old goes with me. She goes with me before school, and it becomes a daddy-daughter thing.
That's cool.
Through that process, she understands the value of hard work. And so it's through those behaviors is where I find the motivation to move it. I think the definition of greatness is to inspire the people next to you. I think that's what greatness is or should be. It's not something that lives and dies with one person. It's how can you inspire a person to then in turn inspire another person and then inspires another person. And that's how you create something that I think lasts forever. It's not sit around and all, it's all happy-go-lucky type of thing. If you're a leader, your job is to get the best out of it. Got to deal with it. Face it, learn from it. It's exciting when you win, it's exciting when you lose, because the process should be exactly the same. But the hardest thing is to face that stuff. But what if today is the day that you, that's it. Now what do you do?
What can I say? Mamba out.
My parents were great. You know, growing up, you know, they instilled in me the importance of imagination, of curiosity, and understanding that, okay, if you want to accomplish something, I'm not just going to sit here and say, yes, you can do whatever you want. Yes, you can, but you have to also put in the work to get there, right? So they taught me that at a really early age, man. And when you grow up as a kid thinking that the world is your oyster, all things are possible if you put in the work to do it, you know, you grow up having that fundamental belief.
Who was more influential for you, your father or mother?
Both were influential at different points.
Yeah.
Right. My mom was there on a daily basis. My father was really influential at a really critical time where I had a summer where I played basketball when I was like 10 or 11 years old. And here I come playing and I don't score 1 point the entire summer. Not one.
You didn't score once?
Not one.
Were you in the game?
I was in the game.
How'd you not score?
Because I was terrible. Not a free throw, nothing. Not a lucky shot, not a breakaway layup, 0 points. And I remember crying about it, being upset about it. My father just gave me a hug and said, listen, whether you score 0 or score 60, I'm gonna love you no matter what.
Wow.
Now that is the most important thing that you can say to your child. Because from there, I was like, okay, that gives me all the confidence in the world to fail. I have the security there. But the hell with that, I'm scoring 60. Let's go.
Right.
And from there, I just went to work. I stayed with it, and I kept practicing. I think that's when the idea of understanding a long-term view became important, because I wasn't going to catch these kids in a week. I wasn't going to catch them in a year, right? So that's when I sat down and said, okay, this is going to take some thought, right? What do I want to work on first? All right, shooting. All right, let's knock this out. Let's focus on this. Half a year, 6 months, do nothing but shoot. All right, after that, all right, creating your own shot. You focus. So I started creating a menu of things. When I came back the next summer, I was a little bit better. And then 14 came around, back half of 13, 14 years old, and then I was just killing everyone. And it happened in 2 years, and I wasn't expecting it to happen in 2 years, but it did, because what I had to do was work on the basics and the fundamentals. But they relied on their athleticism and their natural ability. And because I stick to the fundamentals, it just caught up to me. And then my body, you know, my knees stopped hurting, I grew into my frame.
And then your athleticism once you have the fundamentals, the hard work, the mindset, and you tack on the athleticism, it's game over.
Then it was game over.
Wow.
The love of the game, the challenge. Like, I would watch Magic play, I'd watch Michael play, and I would see them do these unbelievable things, and I'd say, you know, can I get to that level? I don't know, but let's find out. Let's find out. And so that curiosity to see where I could push this thing led me down that path, I think.
With the 13th pick in the 1996 NBA draft, the Charlotte Hornets select Kobe Bryant from Lower Merion High School in Pennsylvania.
Greatness lies ahead for this young man.
Well, I learned that you have to work hard and you have to approach the game with a serious mindset.
There was a stretch in 03 where Shaq was out with an injury. And Phil called me up to his office and said, okay, we need you to really turn on the afterburners and start scoring the ball if we have to win. So I did, and I wound up scoring, I think it was 9 straight games, 40-plus points. Nine straight games. And then Shaq comes back second to last game of that. And then Phil calls me into his office and says, Kobe, okay, I need you to dial it back. I'm like, why? Like, we're winning. I don't understand. It's because our goal is to win a championship. But if you continue to do this, we'll lose Shaq. We'll lose him.
His motivation, his excitement.
What triggers him, right? So I need you to pull back so we can pull Shaq forward for June.
Wow.
I mean, that was the big challenge, is you move from, you know, being the single dominant player to understanding, okay, I have to help these other guys.
How do I lift everyone else up?
It's tough. It's more like you put yourself to the side, and you put yourself in their shoes and understand what they're feeling. And then you have to make certain decisions of, okay, what buttons do I need to push for this player to get them to the next level? So it's not sit around and it's all happy go lucky time. The leader, your job is to get the best out of them. Even if they may not like it at that time.
He was very demanding because he expected everyone to put in the same effort as he was. And that was unrealistic.
You're not behind me, you're not in front of me, you're right there, parallel with me.
Practice was very competitive right away. Mm. You know how Kobe is. Mm. He was jarring, we had it going sometimes.
He didn't let me slip a lot. Times where I get ejected or about to get a technical foul or going off the deep end, he would be there to, you know, set me straight a lot, which helped me out a lot.
So we get in the timeout, and he's like, hey, I'm open. I'm like, okay. And so we go out, and same thing, come, hey, I'm open. Okay. There you go. Come back in, hey, dude, you got to throw me the ball. I said, man, fuck that. Get it off the rebound if I miss, bro. I don't deal with people that don't commit at that level, but then act as if they do.
The running joke, or he doesn't pass and all sort of crap. I mean, that's okay, you know, but I'll take those 5 rings. I'll take 5 of them.